Are you guys sleeping with each other?
No.
Oh, good. Oh, my God. Good.
What are you guys talking about?
I'm telling her not to have sex with you.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, you're too late because we lost our virginity to each other.
Are you serious?
You didn't know.
Yeah, I was told him earlier.
We all knew. You didn't know.
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
So romantic,
right? Here we go. Bring it in. To virginity.
To virginity. Yeah.
Get lost. There we go.
Ooh. Oh, God. I just got to have a good amount of time for a
second. Naomi still has her anal virginity.
That's not true. A lot of guys have been up there, just not you.
Oh, wait. Girl.
Lainey. Her name's Lainey.
Lainey, I'm sorry. Yeah. Quick question before you walk out the door. Are you the reason that my friend Jake here is, like, the biggest slut in the world?
What are you doing?
I'm saying, like, he puts his dick in, like, every sticky hole he finds.
That's not true.
It's
what
gross.
Are you doing?
But, like, I'm gelled.
Come on.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
Yeah. I know it's not you. I know it's because his dad molested him.
Okay.
What? Now everybody knows.
Yeah, he was a Boy Scout leader.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
How am I welcome?
I just set that up for you.
Wait, where's she going?
Yeah, don't let her get away, man. Dude, you gotta chase after her.
She's
your lobster, man.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
She seems
awesome.
Amazing.
Welcome to Trilogy in Theory. My name is Webb, and this is my co-host, Mike, and we are wrapping up our month of sex with a film that I had never seen that I feel like came and went until you mentioned it, and it's called Sleeping with Other People, and it is a wonderful contrast to our last week's film, Friends with Benefits, because while it also contains a lot of the checklist stuff that I mentioned in rom-coms, all the tropes, but there's a lot of good work being done to make sure that it never feels manufactured. There is something very, very organic about all this, and it starts with the characters. How did you come across this movie, Mike? You introduced it to me for this episode. This is my first watch, and I can guarantee you there'll be more.
I was greatly looking forward to this as a connoisseur of rom-coms, and it came out probably at the height of my like podcasting on War Machine versus War Horse, where I was, you know, at that point, you know, you're doing new releases and I'm trying to find a double feature to pair with it. So I'm like constantly scrounging around for like interesting new stuff to talk about. And this is one that I had circled on the calendar. And guess what? It didn't play in my city. So I did not catch up with it until I guess it came to its like VOD, its digital release. I end up doing an episode on it, I believe, with our, in this instance, I will say our mutual acquaintance, Dave, because I don't think he was too favorable on it when I finally got to record on Sleeping with Other People. I did have a feeling that you would really like it for some reason, because it's got this downbeat kind of quality to it, mixed in, you know, it's the sweet and sour to go with Jason Lee from Vanilla Sky. And I feel like you cannot handle too much sweetness or general happiness from, I will say, cinematic characters, maybe in your real life, maybe too, I don't know. But it is one that I think I initially was somewhat disappointed in. And I could not get over not seeing this theatrically in like a proper date night on a date or with a crowd of people, because I feel like that does, it helps me with rom-coms. I like to see real people looking at quasi-real people going through quasi-sort of real problems, and watching this alone, like for a podcast, like rushing through, like, okay, it's finally, you know, I can watch it on my MacBook and watch it by myself. I just didn't have the experience I wanted with it. But like you promise, I have lived with this movie for almost, you know, going on 10 years, came out in 2015, and I have gone back to it. Like, well, it is one that when I'm in that sort of rom-com rut, I guess, if you will, this is when I go back to, And I forget how often it sort of pivots when you think, okay, here's the dynamic, here's the through line of this relationship. And it has obvious stopping points, but they're not handled in a way where it's like, well, and for this 30-minute section, we're together. For the next 10 minutes, we'll be apart. And then the following 20 minutes, I'll try to get you back. And then it has some of those tropes, but the reasonings and the self-awareness of the characters as far as what this relationship is doing for them, both good and bad, and what it could mean for the rest of their adult lives, is handled with a lot of grace that I don't think you see so much. The characters are not graceful, but the film itself is, and how it handles, I think, like a genuine friendship with a sexual component to these two lead actors, Jason Sudeikis and Alison Brie playing Jake and Lainey. I thought you would love the Jason Sudeikis character here. I thought of Webb as rom-com hero would be sex addict Jason Sudeikis in my mind.
I would love to have walked a mile in his shoes, there's no doubt. And here's a great moment that I had between, well, it kind of contrasts well with Friends with Benefits and Sleeping with Other People. I immediately looked to see, well, how can I obtain more information about any film that I watch? Friends with Benefits has a Blu-ray release with a director's commentary. I immediately went to my iTunes file, and it had a couple things, deleted scenes and a very short 5-minute behind-the-scenes thing, and I was robbed of a director's commentary. So that is not included in the iTunes extras, but it is on the Blu-ray. I felt a bit hoodwinked. I look over for Sleeping with Other People. There is no Region A Blu-ray release of the film at all.
Oh, no.
So forget special features. I can't even watch it in Blu-ray quality. I have to deal with a streaming copy, which is fine. But I felt attacked rather than hoodwinked when it came to this movie.
Webb wants to see Adam Scott's horrible-looking face in this with the glasses and the hair. Like, truly villainous. Look, he scares me every time I come back to this movie. I forget how unappealing he looks and sounds. It was like every second of this movie.
Very much almost literal mustache-twirling villain here.
Yeah.
One of the things that you mentioned is the characters. Absolute, so much authenticity to this story. Jake is scarred, right, by his first interaction with Lainey. They have a really kind of wonderful meet-cute, and it sets him on the path to the commitment issues. He's already kind of a good-looking guy with the proper pop culture opinions, as somebody, I immediately saw myself right there. And he just needed Lainey to open up the floodgates into his kind of sexual awakening. And I really, really like that. And I love that almost immediately after that opening scene with them, you do flash forward, but the film doesn't tell you. You flash forward to see that, okay, he's clearly somebody who has a silver tongue and he is able to have these relationships and exit them very, very quickly when he feels like it's becoming too real and any kind of commitment is in the horizon. And by contrast, you have Lainey. And throughout the film, she's hung up on a guy, Adam Scott, that she can't completely have, or he won't completely give himself to her. And so you see how damaged she is because of this terrible relationship. She's affected by it emotionally and physically throughout the film. And here's the thing. These stories, the individual stories of both characters, are not just in service of we got to pad this rom-com out, so let's give a little bit of background. No, these backstories are integral to how the two of them interact with themselves when they have that reconnection at the, the sex addict meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it. This is the heavy character lifting work that is needed in a rom-com for it to get closer and closer to the right side of that bell curve to approach greatness for me. And Friends with Benefits, while you do have some of the parental stuff, I never felt like it made any difference between, you know, when it came to the two main characters interacting. Their problems with each other was different than the problems in their backstory. Here, it's all connected. It's all in service of a really, really wonderful relationship between Jake and Lainey.
There is, so the pact here for continuing our theme for the month is different than, you know, American Pie. It's, hey, we all got to lose our virginity together, which we've seen in other films. And I think is, you know, maybe the timing wouldn't be realistic. Like, hey, bro, like we both got to be not virgins by tomorrow. But you could understand for teenage boys, that would be a huge talking point if, you know, whenever you reach that sort of the threshold of like you're on the cusp of adulthood. Friends with Benefits is certainly the most Hollywood version of that. Like, you're hot, I'm hot. Why don't we have sex, but then we don't have to, you know, we don't have to date or do any of that silliness. And sleeping with other people, this was, you know, I was trying to sneak this in for you. It's a pact of two sex addicts or people who don't have, clearly they have intimacy issues, but they're not really getting much out of these sexual shenanigans. Like, Jason Sudeikis, I don't think is, like, hating his life. He has this sort of like Mark Cuban existence. We still get the rich element here where whatever he, you know, has sight or whatever he has sold it off to a corporation, which happens to be his boss, you know, good Lord, is Amanda Peet. So he's just, Jason Sudeikis is just winning all around here. But they still are aware enough to know that this is not healthy. Like, he's the only little interlude I think we're introduced with him is we see a woman on the street, like, yelling at him, like, leaving his apartment. And you mentioned the silver tongue. He manages to turn her around. The fact that he has had sex with her best friend or one of her friends, he's like, but we, you know, you didn't treat me as something you wanted to commit to. Like, you're like looking at me as something to move beyond, like, until the next better option comes along. If I had known that you like felt this way, but you clearly don't, it's better that you don't feel this way. He doesn't want to be the villain, but he also doesn't want to win her back in that moment. So these are people, like, when they finally meet up in that, you know, Fight Club-esque meeting, that they looked like to reconnect and bond, maybe as a means of protection for one another. They found like sort of a kindred spirit. There is the loss of virginity element that ties into American Pie. I think that's different from, obviously, the hey, Friends with Benefits, hey, Mila Kunis, why don't you just start having sex with me? Because clearly she's benefiting, he's benefiting. Here, the benefits are, why don't we try to see what a commitment would look like if we remove sex from the table here? And they form, like, a genuine, like, bond where they really truly, they're not just relying on each other as far as like, hey, keep my sort of worst sins in check. They start to rely on each other because they realize they would like to be able to like express themselves and be themselves with someone. And if you remove sex from it, then there's no question, there's no doubt as far as what the transactional nature of this relationship is. There's a beautiful scene where they're on the couch and she's been offered a chance to continue her education is going to the University of Michigan. And this is New York based, as pretty much all great rom-coms are. And instead of him sort of getting in his feelings and not saying what it is he's feeling in that moment to her so that we see them start to pull apart and be distant, he expresses everything right then and there. Like, I'm really going to miss my friend and I really wish you weren't leaving. And they just sort of sit in that, but there's nothing they can really do with it, but he gets it out there in the open. And she even says, she's like, I'm, you know, I want you to tell me these things. I'm glad you said that. You never see that in movies. You never see them just put it all on the table. And then they're like, we don't really have a fix for it, but I'm glad I know how you feel about me. And you know, that's cool. That's cool that we're friends. You can express that to one another. I'm still astounded every time I get to that moment in the film that they actually went for it and did it. And they don't offer sort of like absolution to the audience as far as like, all right, now that they've expressed the grand gesture, now everything is fixed. All they had to do is say the thing they felt and they will be reciprocated with what they want, which is a beautiful woman who will stay by your side and have sex with you until the end of your days. No, not at all. They're just like, yeah, this kind of sucks, but I'm, I'm, I'm kind of glad that someone feels that way about me, but we can't really change it. I think that's going to get to what you texted me, that you're like, this movie is almost on the edge of perfect and goes on for a little bit too long.
Yeah, 100%. But like you said, that relationship that the two characters build over the course of the film is so good and so genuine. And you get to see it. You are never just told like, oh yeah, she's a really good friend. And I can't remember any kind of a montage that happens in this film, or at least one that's extended, where you're like, oh, they're telling you, they're building a relationship over the course of a minute, and you just kind of know it. You have
the closest you get is like maybe the dance sequence at the kid's birthday party, where it's only, but it's not a montage. It's just they both come to this to deal with small children. Understood. They have to be on drugs. And they treat it like they're going to a rave or something. And she does her, she's like a kindergarten teacher, elementary school teacher. She does that thing where she can get the kids' attention, get them engaged in this activity. And I believe the closer you get to a montage is them dancing and then cutting to him with his head in the swimming pool, like on the downswing, which is also the poster of the movie. You're right. It almost is the opposite of Friends with Benefits, and it actively avoids the tropes. You're like, all right, here's the moment, like the fall in love moment where you cue the music and that cues the audience to know they feel more about each other than what they're expressing here. And it's because, at least with each other, they seem to be like brutally honest in a way. Like it's, they have this code. And I told you there is, you were complaining about the lack of nudity in the last episode. And unfortunately there's none here. There's no Sudeikis cock. If everyone was wanting it, sorry. Yeah. Hope for Ted Lasso season 4. Maybe you'll get it.
I mean, hey, you wait long enough and you never know. In American Reunion, we got to see Jason Big Penis. So you never know.
And this is no offense to Jason Biggs. I'm guessing Jason Sudeikis at this point in his career is not like, do I have to go to a dick gag? And it's like, yeah, you do, buddy. You want this check? Apple TV says show penis. There is a very GIF-worthy moment of Alison Brie modeling sexy lingerie for him. And they have this where they can just say to each other, like, hey, this is I'm getting too turned on by you right now. Please stop. Like, we're not going to be able to manage this friendship if you keep doing this. So even they know, like, hey, we can walk right up to this line, but we can be honest with each other when we're about to cross it. And you don't see that in rom-coms either. You see them make up bullshit on why they can't move forward, but not just saying, I love you as a friend. Physically, I'm infatuated with you. Please stop, because I don't know where this will go going forward.
And each of those moments are really, really wonderful. When Jake is teaching Lainey how to masturbate, what a real, like, again, a great scene that ends exactly the same way. Like, oh, no, we got to go. And on a personal level, like, as he's, like, motioning with the bottle, I'm not going to put this in the episode. But
oh, you absolutely should.
But like, as he's explained the techniques, I'm thinking back to my own sexual history, and I'm like, yes, I was employing that, and it did work. And I like it, I don't know if Jason Sudeikis. Well, the fact that the film is written and directed by a woman, I feel confident that okay, like what he's speaking there is the truth. It assuaged any kind of doubt in my sexual history. I was like, okay, yes, I've done that before.
I mean, I love that Jason Sudeikis is mansplaining to another woman her dirty bits. And he doesn't even have the medical terms or anything for it. He's just like, you know, the little thing. And she's like, she's explaining to him. He's like, yeah, that, whatever. He's like, but here's how you work it.
Right.
The writer and director is, I believe, Leslie Headland, who did a movie with I think Kirsten Dunst, Bachelorette, which I really liked. It's really good, like, you know, sort of more broad sex comedy, but has mainly gone on to TV work. Did Russian Doll with Natasha Lyonne.
I've heard really American good Pie. Things, but now she's swimming in that Disney money.
Yeah, Star Wars. You know, I'm hoping what that means is that she will be able to produce, go back to the sort of more comedic roots here. But yes, I also think that's important. Having, you know, a woman as the writer and director, is just frankly better when it comes to these rom-coms. It's nothing against the likes of Will Gluck, but there's a reason, you know, Nora Ephron is seen as the titan of this genre in a very short period of time.
Yeah. And what you also, I feel like, get with this writer-director, and maybe I haven't done the research, but with female writer-directors of this genre, you also, I think, get the background characters or the supporting cast that really comes into play. Let's talk about Amanda Peet here. And she is wonderful, got those big, sexy teeth. She's just like, I fall for that smile.
Big,
like,
sexy teeth.
Yeah.
I've not heard that before. I'm digging it. All right. Yeah.
I don't know. I never noticed it until this movie. And then she smiles certain times in this film, and it just like warms my heart. I adore her. I'm very upset that she had to be naked in a lame way in The Whole Nine Yards. I don't know if you've seen that one. But there's a scene where...
No.
Yeah, she has a nude scene in that where it's used to, like, distract these criminals. It's very lame.
And is my microphone picking up the keyboard sounds right now?
I want to talk about her relationship with Jake. It's so wonderful. You know, there's a point in the film where I feel like Jake and Lainey are like, okay, like, we truly don't want to mess up the relationship that we have. So let's try and be better, and for the lack of a better word, normal. And so he kind of starts this relationship with Amanda Peet, and she starts a relationship with unnamed actor guy. I don't know that she meets at the birthday party. I don't remember his name.
Is that how people do it with kids? They're like, hey, is that a single woman without a child? I met this kid's birthday party with my kid. Alison Brie's dancing, and she looks like she's tripping on something. Now's the time to go over and be like, hey, here's my number, if ever. I don't know. I you know, God willing, I'll never have children, but I guess I admire the chutzpah of that guy, where it's like, yeah, I'm here because of my kid. Would you like to have sex sometime?
Well, I like that Jake calls him out right there in that moment. Again, more of these wonderful character interactions. I really liked Amanda Peet's relationship with Jake here, because he is legitimately trying to break it off. Not break it off, but he's trying to make sure that his sexual feelings, or even his deep feelings for Lainey, are not going to affect the rest of his life, because he needs to move on as well. And I love that he...
Well, also, can I point out here, like, yeah, it seems like a genuine... You can have people in your life that, like, better you as a human. And just because they make you better doesn't necessarily mean that you need to attach yourselves to them and be like, well, this is the only person I can ever be a better version of myself with.
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to have friends in your life that you don't have sex with. I mean, Chasing Amy taught us all wrong, Webb, where it's like, eventually you and I are supposed to have sex at some point, like, if we're gonna maintain this friendship. But you should be able to, and I feel like he is trying to internalize that, like, Lainey, as played by Alison Brie, has been good for me. Maybe I can now be like a productive member of the sort of romantic world. I'm attracted to Amanda Peet. They have chemistry. He's willing to basically sign away his stock options in a mini grand gesture to be like, I need to go after a woman I'm interested in. And maybe now this could be a real thing because of all this progress I've made with this other woman in a platonic way. I think, you know, we're going to keep getting to that ending where it doesn't feel like a movie where you expect Sudeikis and Brie to end up together. You expect them, this to be a time in their life that was very good, and it ends up being something that they can look back on and be like, this is now how I got to be the person I am because I met that person. But eventually Amanda Peet's got to go. And that is unfortunate here.
Yeah, and that's what I was referring to when I mentioned to you that it's almost there. It's almost at that level of great. It might still be. It might resonate with me even more because everything else leading up to the ending is so good. But when Sudeikis is closing the back like door of the moving U-Haul. Truck, mm-hmm. Yeah, the U-Haul. And he's kind of letting her go. That's the ending, man. That's the ending. Because I'm not saying that films have to reflect real life, but it just seemed like a natural finish to the film where he's kind of going to always live in that unrequited area of the heart with Lainey. And she's going to be that person who got him over his issues, and maybe vice versa. Like, she, Lainey, leaving town to go and pursue her career in medicine, maybe that's it. That's what it. That's what she needed from him as well. But the film continues, and we have what's, you know, despite the fact that I wasn't a huge fan of what happens after, the way it's done is still quite clever and interesting. Him getting to a fight with Adam Scott, great, great stuff.
Anytime you assault Adam Scott, it's a happy ending.
Oh, well, this version of Adam Scott. This is my again my sitcom love coming back because of Parks and Rec. He's really wonderful in that. On that show.
Hey, Party Down, man! I don't know if you saw that Starz classic, that very brief thing where they're like in the catering service and like the Hollywood industry.
Oh,
really
I've
good.
Heard of that.
It's really good. The comedy, if you can check it out, I think it's like two brief seasons, maybe 12 episodes total.
Okay.
Yeah, I look. I'm with you on that, and it's I do wonder upon rewatch if you won't mind as much because you do genuinely just and love the Lainey and Jake character so much that like that first time where you're like you're looking at this as like this is my definitive watch and this could be a definitive like rom com and you're almost there, you're at the one yard line and then you didn't punch it in. I will say on rewatches, though, it's like I just enjoy seeing those characters so much that it's like I kind of don't mind. Intellectually, I know like, OK, that's the end point. You probably should have left it. But emotionally, it's like I just like seeing I want to see more sequences where they're together again. They're happy. And it's like, I don't know. Is that any less real? It's like if he comes to that conclusion, which really, I guess it's Amanda Peet who comes to the conclusion. Like you just got into a fight with your best friend's former lover. And proclaiming and true, like he's, I don't know, fucking Knights of the Round Table. He's like, yeah, what you did to my girl, to my woman, I will not allow it. This travesty. Amanda Peet, I like it because she, you know, she has her own shit. I mean, she's got a child from her previous relationship. He has entered into this world. He has done it seemingly seamlessly, but that is like, it is a scary moment for certainly a single mom where it's like this guy is so unhinged, he'll attack some stranger on the street because of what he did to a best friend in a previous life, a best friend that's no longer even in his life. I totally get it. It is also, you know, we talked about the sort of female direction here. It's not often you get to see the grand gesture be so kind of pathetic and desperate. I mean, his phone call from the police station, his one phone call to Allison Brie in Michigan, where he puts on the table. He's like, I just can't, I need you here. I can't function. I thought I could, I can't function. That's not a very romantic thing to say to someone, that I can't function as an adult person unless you are back here with me. It works because it's, you know, maintaining that brutal honesty that they've always had where they don't really punish the other person for saying perhaps the wrong thing or not putting it in a delicate fashion. But it's rare for a movie to allow their sort of male hero to not say like, I realized I need you in my life. It's him saying, I will not be able to breathe or live or exist or, you know, do anything in modern society. That's not quite something I think any grown man would want to be forced in a position when you're under duress and arrest to say to a woman, like, please bail me out of my life. I do like that scene a lot. I admire Jason Sudeikis for being able to pull it off, and he pulls it off without you. You don't like him any less, even though he is in such a pathetic state.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's a really wonderful scene that is not over the top. There's no flash mob. It's just very, very real, and it's all
there are police surrounding him. So
well, that's fair.
He's about to get thrown back into the clink as soon as they can get that phone out of his hands.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about these sex packs. We've got American Pie. A bunch of guys aim to lose their virginity. Friends with Benefits, the guy and the girl want sex without the emotional baggage, and then Sleeping with Other People, the most adult of the films, the guy and the girl won't have sex because it'll complicate their genuine friendship. I think we know who the clear winner is between these three films.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And going into this film trilogy, I thought that American Pie was going to be the clear loser, but I believe Friends with Benefits is... And I don't want to use the word loser's harsh.
It's always good when you get two insults and I thought American Pie was a real dog. And then I saw something far worse. Justin Timberlake
came to town. I appreciated American Pie much more this go-round. Friends with Benefits, it's unfortunately the third one in the bag because it's not a bad movie. It's just one that feels more like, hey, let's get this homework project done. It doesn't feel as genuine as – it's weird. Like I'm labeling American Pie as more genuine than Friends with Benefits.
I'll agree with you. I don't really like your general tone. But I will say that for this month of watching movies with you, Webb, that I was surprised at how much affection I had for American Pie, because it's not something I rewatch. I feel like I liked it when I was a teenager, and then, you know, you kind of leave those things behind. I will continue to probably watch Friends with Benefits more than either of these two, because it's not surprising. It's like, it's what exactly I need from, if I'm in the mood for a rom-com, it supplies all of that. And I don't have to be first, I don't have to be bothered with, like, am I comfortable watching these teenage boys put this new teenage girl out for all of the internet to enjoy? Like, morally, where do I stand with like, there's too many questions there. And then sleeping with other people is, it's a full meal. That it's, and that's the biggest credit to it as a rom-com, is it's something that I sit and think about more, even as I'm watching it in the days later. Friends with Benefits, I get that little sort of adrenaline rush of like, wouldn't it be cool to be young, rich, and having sex with Mila Kunis in New York City? And then that's it. And I don't, obviously, as you said in that episode, I can't think about it further because that's fucking insane. That's not real. That's like, it's not even like the 1% that gets to experience that. I don't know who that person is. Sleeping with other people, while it may not be possible for any of us to be in that close of a friendship with Alison Brie, you could see yourself and possibly other friends you've had that have been important to your life just for small stretches of your existence on this planet. And I think it's probably something to cherish thinking back on those friendships. And I cherish the movie because that makes me think of those friendships.
I wanted to also bring up one thing that kind of, I don't know, it was just a moment. Mila Kunis says, why don't they ever show what happens after the grand gesture and they get together? And then he flippantly said, well, it's just a porno after that. I think the answer is, it's Away We Go. That's the film that happens after the rom-com ends. And so it made me think of that. And I was like, hey, you know what? It doesn't fit in this trilogy, but maybe somewhere down the line we can squeeze that in to our slate of films.
Well, I will say that, you know, you've got sort of a one-track mind, maybe the same as JT. Away We Go, yes, is love after the grand gesture, but the opening sequence is John Krasinski going down on Maya Rudolph, so it starts somewhat pornographic, except I believe the end of that scene before he gets kicked out of bed is, you taste funny.
It does, but it's a sweet version of that because it confirms that she's pregnant. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right. Sam Mendes dipping his toe into a little bit of a little bit of crass humor. Appreciate, but tastefully done.
Tastefully done. Yes, Maya Rudolph.
One of the things I said in the American Pie episode after listening back to it was not feeling a certain way or a certain like negative and more critical way when they are putting this poor girl on the internet. And I was like, well, I didn't have any feminist friends. You don't need to have feminist friends to know that something is right or wrong. So I apologize, but I think I will blame my immaturity and age for not being able to properly see the ramifications of such an act. So I apologize. But I did continue and watch all of the American Pie sequels, as I alluded to. I just want to give a quick shout out to American Pie 2, which was actually quite good. It's kind of like the adult, raunchy Sandlot. It's another summer where a lot of crazy stuff happens and you grow a little bit.
Did you feel in American Pie 2, there's more Stifler, because he's, you know, now he's a part of the gang, officially. They kind of awkwardly say, hey, we needed a fifth man to be able to afford the, you know, the beach house. Did you feel that they start to drift there where he's becoming even more the butt of the jokes than before? Like, I think, like, he's the jock and the bully in the first one, but in this one, he's almost the one where it's like, other than, of course, poor Jim, whenever he tries to masturbate, Stifler, like, he ends up, for God's sake, he ends up making out with Jason Biggs for our amusement. Like, they take every opportunity to undercut, you know, the jock here in the second one. And I think that's the power of the idea of Stifler, or Sean William Scott's performance as him, that he still was the most popular character. No matter what the disgusting things they did to him, he was still the one that everyone wanted to be, that was like an American Pie fan at that time. It's very strange.
And it goes to ridiculous lengths in the third one, American Wedding. Like, it's too much. He's way, you know, despite the fact that it's called American Wedding and he's not in the wedding, he takes over the film and there's way too many butt of the joke type stuff.
And then Reunion is a pullback. That is I think, a tonal course correction. Yes. And I think you had said in our text messages, that should have been the third part. This will be the only time I ever say it. That's the before midnight of the American Pie saga, American Reunion.